Turn your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter number 4. Luke chapter number 4. Chapter number 4, we have the incident in which the Lord Jesus goes to Nazareth into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He reads the scripture. He reads from the book of Isaiah, of course, that great passage, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel." And he leaves off the text, that phrase, "the day of vengeance of our God," dividing the first and the second coming of the Lord from that text in Isaiah 61. And the Bible tells us that he spake to the crowd then, this application. "And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow." In the days of the apostasy of northern Israel, there were many widows. He goes on to say there were many lepers. But Elijah wasn't sent to any of the widows of Israel. He was sent to the woman, to the widow of the city of Sidon, a Gentile. And there is a great picture being painted here. As, of course, the Lord was announcing that in that town in which he grew up, he would not be able to do many miracles there because they did not see him as Jesus, the Son of God. They did not see him as Jesus, the Messiah. They did not see him as the divine, eternal Son of God. They saw him as little Jesus, the carpenter's son. They saw him only in his physical realm. And because of their lack of faith, he was not able to do many miracles there. And so we have a picture here of a rare faith in the days of the apostasy of Israel. Rare faith. Unique faith. Amongst the people of God. Oh, there were many religious people. Many religious people. But none of them as is pictured here, had the faith of this woman. And so we're going to turn to 1 Kings chapter number 17. And I suppose that they had the problem in those days that we have in these days. People compare themselves with one another. People are comparing their faith with the faith of other people. People are all hung up on the status quo and what everybody is doing and what's religiously acceptable, whatever. And of course, this is a picture of a rare faith. An unusual faith. The Bible says in 1 Kings 17, the brook Cherub dried up. The time of drought. The time of judgment on northern Israel, God said that he would keep back the rain in the time of judgment as the people turned away from him. And, of course, the Bible tells us that God uses national disasters to cause nations to wake up. And he used a drought of 3.5 years to cause the people to be awakened. In the process, the prophet had to be sustained and hide from Ahab. He was by the brook Cherub until it dried up. Verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now, the widow woman knew nothing about this. God had not announced to her that he was going to use her. She was in complete ignorance of God's plan for her life. And so the Bible tells us, Verse 10, so he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel. That's all that's left. And a little oil in a cruse or a jar. That's all I got left. And behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it, and that will be our last meal. And then we will die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first. And bring it unto me. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste. neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. Now the Lord gives us this example of the one widow woman that God chose to take care of his prophet. None of the widow women of Israel had that special privilege. And the Lord Jesus takes this illustration to speak of a lack of faith, a paucity of faith, a smallness of faith among the people of God. And then he lifts up this woman and her faith and how God used her in a very, 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 very special way. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we realize that this woman didn't know anything about it. This woman was preparing to die. Obviously, this was an industrious woman. She was going to gather sticks, make a fire, make final cake, have their last meal. And since they had no other means of survival, die. We don't sense in her a bitter spirit. We do not sense within her a lazy spirit. We sense an industrious spirit, but she is realistic. She was acting as best she could consider a natural man. She had knew nothing of God's plan for her life. We see, though, that that God has a test. God has a test. And in the human sense, now Elijah didn't know who it was either. And so there was a human as well as a divine test. That was somehow within the sovereign plan of God. And the first test was Elijah comes up to the strange woman and says, please give me some water. Well, I mean, she was about the last affair of her life, wasn't she? Even as Abraham's servant went to the well and said to the young lady, give me water. You know, there was a test. There was a test of the air, a test of this woman. And this test, it was the opportunity for her to exercise faith. This test was an opportunity for her to exercise faith. Now, you know, it's amazing to try to figure out the sovereign and the human side. Don't try to figure it out. Praise God for it, but don't try to figure it out. Here's a test. And what was God testing? God was testing through Elijah who it was. He didn't know who it was. He was testing, but she was being tested too. And I think we have a great truth here of putting faith in a real setting. A real setting. You know, people want to have broadcast on a great big screen. You know, blah, blah, blah. And if you respond in faith, you know, praise God, this is what's going to happen. That's not a real setting. Here's a real setting. And we're going to investigate the test. We're going to investigate the opportunity for faith. We're going to investigate God's plan in real action. So let's see her faith. Elijah says, she says to Elijah, you know, I don't have a cake to give you. I got a little bit of meal in the bottom of a barrel. And I got a little bit of oil, enough to make a cake. And the sticks are to make the fire to cook it. And that's it. That's all I have. Elijah said, fine, fine. Go ahead. But keep on doing it. But make me there a little cake first. Now, I don't know. I just kind of imagine this tiny little meal in this barrel. And I imagine this just tiny little bit of oil in this jar. And the prophet said, fine, go ahead, but make me a little cake first. First? First? Now, that's the token of the test of her faith. Now, what would you have said, or what would have you thought? He says, make it first. I'm sure many people would have said, what? What? You first? What? What a ridiculous thought. First? You first? Ahead of me and my son? You first? Now, again, remember, this is the description of rare, unusual faith that was not found in Israel. Notice, this is that unique faith that is blessed of God, that is in contrast to the little faith of the people of Israel in the time of apostasy. And this helps us today to understand where we are. We too are in a day of apostasy. We too are in a day in that we need to be careful not to compare our faith with other religious people. And to be challenged about the faith that God lifts up and exemplifies as he does in this passage. So her faith was, first of all, a faith that is willing to put God first. A faith that is willing to put God first. A faith that is able to trust God to put Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That is a great challenge today. To put the kingdom of God first. Now today it's a challenge for people to have the kingdom of God anywhere in their life. Nonetheless, first, notice the significance. Secondly, he says, now if you do this, the meal will never waste and the cruse will never fail. The cruse of oil never fail till the judgment's over. But remember, she just had a little bit. She just had a little bit. You know, I've learned something by going to Africa. Going from the land of plenty to going to the land of corruption. Well, of course, we're getting there. The land of poverty, the land of little. You know, it's hard to trust God when you don't have much. You know, we think, oh, well, they don't have anything. That's all they can do is trust God. It doesn't work that way. You know, for most of us, putting God first and trusting Him, that isn't that difficult because we got a lot left over. You know, we got a lot of poles in the water. If you don't catch a fish on one, well, we got four others. You know, I think of the couple illustrations in the Bible. I think of the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. Which person had difficulty putting God first? Which person had difficulty taking their talent and using it for God? The one with five? No. The one with two? No. What? The one with one. The one with one. Now, I don't have this figured out. But you know, if you only have one, do you know this is really intelligent? That's all you got? You know, if you got five, you got five apples in the basket. You know, if one fails, you got four to kind of cover the bases. You know what I'm saying? But when you got one, and that's all you have, that's the end. There's a woman in the Bible that was greatly applauded for her giving to the Lord. And as the widow woman in Luke 21 who gave all of her substance, all of her living. She only had two tiny little coins, two farthings. They would be less than a cent. She had the smallest coin that was in circulation. That's all she had. And she gave it to the Lord. And the Lord said, whoa. Now it didn't hardly balance, didn't hardly move the scale. They're so light. But there's two aspects of it. One is she gave all she had. But the other part of it is there was nothing else left to give. She gave it all. There's nothing else to fall back on. You know, as I was saying, in Africa, it is really hard for Christians in Africa to trust God with what little they have. It is amazingly hard for them to tithe. It is amazingly hard for them to put spiritual things above money. It's a constant challenge. And, you know, you'd think, well, they have so little, how could they get caught in that rat race? The rat race is more intense the less you have. Brother Overmiller is telling me about the key man in his church. And he was going to, I think the issue is he was going to move to his brother's house, which is a long ways from the church. To save money, but being a long way from the church, it was going to make it hard for him to get to church. It was going to make him hard to serve in the church. It was going to make him hard to give attention to his spiritual life. And you know, the reality of it is he was really going to be saving very little. Very little. But because he had so little, the saving of the very little was abnormally large in his mind. Here's a woman who had almost nothing, was ready to die. And she was willing and able to trust God with what little she had. She was willing to trust God with what little she had. Which made it her to be completely dependent upon God. You know, it's amazing how many Christians, they say, well, I might as well just be a pew sitter. I don't have much to offer the Lord. So I'm just going to come and sit in the pew. I think this passage strikes that out as not good. Notice and remember the Macedonian Christians were considered some of the greatest Christians of the Apostle Paul's ministry, and how in their poverty they gave great riches. Why? Because they first gave themselves to the Lord. Thirdly, the Bible tells us, and we'll get back to 1 Kings here, tells us about her unique faith. He says, it says, verse 15, and she went and did. She went and did. Hers was not merely a contemplative faith. Hers was a faith of obedience. Obedience. A faith to obey. A faith to obey at the mere word of God. You think she had this figured out? Think she had this figured out? How it was going to happen? How is it going to happen? I'm going to take a majority of this little meal I have and a majority of this oil I have, and I'm going to make that profit a cake. And we're going to have even less left. And he says that is going to keep going on and on and on and on until the drought is over. How's that going to work? You know, we live in a day of figuring out. We live in a day of figuring out. And so we live in a day of apologetics. You know, you gotta prove to people how it's going to work out. And you gotta use all this rationalization to show them it's going to work. I don't know how you can figure that one out. There's no way you can figure it out. You know, she had the faith to obey. I think about it today. That's definitely a faith that's greatly missing today. A faith to obey merely on what God has said. Now we're trying to describe a faith that was unusual, that was rare, a faith that was praised by God as being special. You know, there's only some people get the blessing that others don't. The reason is they have the faith to obey while other people are trying to use their rationale of how to figure it out. But for most people, you know what? The problem is, there's two problems. One is, most decisions of faith take a number of years to get the real results. On the other hand, most decisions of faith take a whole lifetime to find the real results. You know what? Real results are going to be in heaven. Amen. And that isn't figuring out. That isn't seeing it to believe it. And I know if you're going to raise a godly family in this day, you're going to find out in 20 years if you made the right decision, but it's going to be too late. And you have to decide that you're going to obey what God has said Because he said it. And you're not going to delay and procrastinate and try to figure it out. There has to be immediate faith. Which means immediate obedience. Immediate obedience to God. Now, there's another aspect of her faith. It says in verse 15, she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he in her house, and she and he in her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not. Now, the barrel didn't get full, folks. The little scrap in the bottom stayed there the whole time. And the little cruse of oil, it was still a little bit of oil in the jar every day. Every day. The bottle never got filled. You know what? It just multiplied as they used it day by day. It was a continuous faith. You know, we like easy faith. That's what we like. We like easy faith. Easy faith is, you know, I trust God for this big thing today, and you know, and the next 5 weeks I can take it easy. That's the kind of faith we like. You know, we like the kind of faith we pray a big prayer, and you know, we get a big answer, and now the rest of our life we don't have to worry about any big thing. That's kind of what we like. Let me tell you what. And what takes more faith? To pray a big prayer that gets prayed the answer the next day, or pray a big prayer even though it seems like it will never get answered. It was continuous faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The Christian life, the Bible says, Romans 1:17. It tells us the Christian life starts by faith and it continues by faith. And we would like it to be able to say, oh boy, you know what? God answered my prayer yesterday, and boy, that was a big prayer. It took a lot of faith. And I really had to get right with God and calculate where I am spiritually so that I could pray that. And now I hope I don't have to do that again. Christian life is a life of faith. You know, the decision you made to trust Christ as your Savior, that's only the beginning of a life of decisions of faith. As big a step as that was, let me tell you what, in the Christian life, your Christian life is full of decisions that are actually, in many cases, take more faith. Now, let's see the result of her faith. What was the result of her faith? Well, first of all, the servant of the Lord was taken care of. Second of all, she and her son were taken care of. Thirdly, all those in her house were taken care of. Fourthly, she became an example of faith to all the people of God for generations. But this is Mother's Day. She became the example of faith to her son. She became the example of faith to her son. All the days of his life, not only did he receive the benefits of his mother's faith physically, not only did he see the spiritual, the work of God physically, not only did he have the opportunity to be with the man of God for those many days and have his life shaped, and his mother was the key, but he was able to look back. He could never be robbed. In his soul, he could never be robbed of the experience and the knowledge and the example of faith that his mother taught him. Mothers have a very unique role in life. They have the opportunity to do something for God. This woman had the opportunity to do something for God. This woman had the opportunity to believe God. This woman had the opportunity to be a blessing to her son and to her family and to her household. What a testimony to lead the people of God. Now, as we apply this today, first of all, let me ask you, how are you doing with the tests of life? How are you doing with the tests of life? You know, life is a test, isn't it? How are you doing with the tests of life? We believe in a sovereign God. There are no accidents with God. There are no accidents in the plan of God. The things that come across our lives, we don't understand, are in the sovereign plan of God. But the question is, how are we responding to it? There is one proper response. It's a response of faith. The response that requires us to put God first when everything inside of us says me first. The test of life is to surrender what little we have to God when our natural man says, hang on to it for a life. The test of life calls us to obey, immediate obedience at the word of God, when the natural part of us says, I can't figure out how this would ever work. I haven't seen anybody else take this path of faith. I mean, if there's anybody who ought to be doing it, it ought to be those Israelites, not me, a Gentile. The test, obedience. And then the test, to do it continuously. You know, there's probably some here that you've done well putting the Lord first. You've done well trusting the Lord with what little you had. You've done well in the past with obeying God, but you know you're getting tired. You're getting tired. You're getting weary. God calls us to renewed faith. And that faith is not based on our human strength. That faith is based on the grace of God. Continuous faith. What a blessing she was. What an example she was. What a heritage she left for her family, for believers. An unknown woman, lost in the world, but special to God. You know, mothering is a unique experience. But you know, faith is a definite decision that a person must make. It's not a feeling. It's not an ism. It isn't a make-believe. It isn't religious hoopla. Calls for definite decisions. Oftentimes, immediate decisions. Oftentimes, defying the odds decisions. There are no mistakes with God. As there was no mistake with the woman meeting Elijah, the well. In one sense, there's no mistake today where you are in life. And this great truth for your life from God's Word. And in your life, it could be the very test of your future, of where God wants you to go from today. But it will take a definite response. The norm is obvious. You might have a little impression upon your soul today. But as you walk out those doors, you have a 99.9% a human chance that that's the end of it. Because the pressures of the world will put you back where you used to be. The round of life will capture you. And so there is a call, even as Elijah put the woman on the spot. There's a call to decisiveness with what we're going to do with our life. Put God first? You really mean that? Take what little you have and really give it all away? Trust it to God? Obey immediately? Just because God said it? To keep doing it? Constantly be able to be at that place in your life? Where there's this continued call to trust God for great things. You might be at one of these stages. You might be at all of these stages. But the picture of the blessing is only a, the reality of the blessing is only a picture of what God wants to do in our lives. And I can't think of a more unique vessel than mothers for what God can do in your lives and through you. But there needs to be a definite response of faith to the God of heaven, to the God of the Bible, to Jesus Christ. And I wonder today, as we close this message, what have you done with Jesus Christ? What have you done with Him? Are you trusting your religion, your good works, your niceness to somehow get you to heaven? It won't work, friend. You see, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. He sent His Son to die for all of our sin because we are sinners. And we are like sheep going astray. And we have gone astray. And there's an offer of God to every sinner. Look unto me and be ye saved. There's an offer of God to every sinner. I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. There is an offer of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him and your soul and your sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's a definite act as much as deciding to listen to a sermon or to wake up in the morning and do something. It's a definite response. It's a response of faith. You know, how do you know that you'll be saved? How do you know that you'll be born again? How do you know that it'll turn out? Why? Because the Bible says so. It's a step of faith. Yes, you need to take all your sin, all of them, put on Jesus Christ. You need to take your life and turn to Him, the Good Shepherd, and trust Him for yourself to be your shepherd. It's a definite act of faith. Can you point to a definite, specific, purposeful moment in your life that as a lost sinner, you determined that your sin was ugly and determined to turn from your helpless way to turn to Christ and trust Him with your life and your sin? Can you point to that day? That's a day of faith. Oh, you can't figure it out. There's no reasoning that you can put there in comparison to human reasoning. But he will save you if you'll turn to him. Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And just as real as that is if you will put Jesus Christ in your life and by faith make those decisions you need to make as a Christian. You'll know what the scripture says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for your word and for the great truth that we have of the faith that we need in these last days. And Lord, you have a plan. We don't know what it is, but it's a plan that comes in the opportunities and the tests of life. The opportunity to respond to your word and to situations of life by faith. Putting you first. Trusting you. Even with that last vestige or area of our life. And so, Lord, I pray that you encourage mothers today. I pray encourage all of us, challenge all of us, Lord, about if we're going forward by faith or not. And that decision of faith we need to make. With heads bowed and eyes closed, first of all,